The Bible reading for today is Psalm 1, page 448 of the Church Bibles. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish.
Thank you so much, Kwan, for reading that for us. Please do keep your Bibles open at Psalm 1. And you should also have received a handout on your way in. Hopefully that outline will help you to follow along with the talk over the next few minutes. Now, friends, can I ask, would you like to know how to be happy? Now, for as long as people have been alive, I suspect this has been a question on lots of people's minds. And over the centuries, there have been no shortage of answers. I had a look online this week to see what people have said on this, and I found a couple of interesting and famous quotes. All the way back in 460 BC, an ancient Greek historian, Thucydides, once said this: "The secret to happiness is freedom, and the secret to freedom is courage." Which sounds very, very modern, doesn't it? Want to be happy? Well, then be free. Have the courage to choose your own path, to live life on your own terms. And then there's Andrew Carnegie, the famous American industrialist and philanthropist from the 1800s. He puts it this way: if you want to be happy, set a goal that commands your thoughts, liberates your energy, and inspires your hope. In other words, according to Carnegie, happiness is found in purpose, in having something to live for, in setting goals that give shape and meaning to your life. Which, again, you know, considering this is 200-year-old advice, very, very modern way of thinking, isn't it? Now, friends, I thought I'd ask this question today because as we come to the end of yet another year, I reckon there's perhaps no other time in the year when this question of happiness feels closer to home. As we look back on a year that's gone, the highs and the lows, and also as we look ahead to a new year, new beginning, fresh start, and the hope that maybe next year will be better, happier. Which brings us to our Bible passage for today, because in a world full of opinions, full of voices, all claiming to know where happiness is found, today we're going to look at God's Word, but to see what God has to say on the matter. Right from the opening line of Psalm chapter 1, we're introduced to a person who the psalmist calls the blessed man. The word blessed can also be translated as happy, and so you could read verse 1 like this: happy is the man. And the incredible promise of Psalm 1 is that here in these verses, the psalmist, he wants to let us in on the secret to happiness, the secret to the blessed life. So, what's the secret? Well, let's take a closer look at Psalm 1, shall we? And the first thing the psalmist wants us to see is this. In our search for happiness, Psalm 1 tells us that there are basically only two paths you can take, two ways to live. Have a look at verse 1 and 2. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Psalm 1 begins with this picture: a fork in the road. Two directions you can take in life, both promising happiness, but only one actually leading to it. And in verse 1, the psalmist begins by telling us where happiness is not found. The blessed man walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. This is the path that promises happiness, but actually leads away from it. Now, what does it look like to go down this path? Well, it's about walking in someone's counsel, standing in their way, sitting in their seat, which are all basically pictures that speak of influence, being shaped by someone's way of thinking, by listening to them, living like them, associating with them. Now, who are these influencers? Well, here they're described as the wicked, sinners, scoffers. And it's worth clarifying that when the psalmist speaks of the wicked and sinners, he's not necessarily talking about people who are especially bad or people who've committed horrible crimes. No, in the Psalms, these are all descriptions of the person who rejects God. They're all ways of describing a world that lives without reference to God. Which means that when Psalm 1 talks about walking in the counsel of the wicked, it's not talking about evil villains and criminal masterminds. No, it's actually talking about listening to, being influenced by, shaped by the voices that we hear every day at work, among friends, online, in our culture. And here's the point that the psalmist wants us to get. If you are searching for the blessed life, for true happiness, Psalm 1 says it is not found by listening to those voices. And, you know, if we maybe just stop to look at the world around us, I wonder if maybe we see hints of this. You know, as a society, we are richer than ever, more productive than ever. We claim to be more enlightened, more liberated, more socially conscious. However, why is it then that so many in our world have observed that as a society, in lots of ways, we seem to be drifting further away from happiness? Depression and anxiety is on the rise. Loneliness is now described as an epidemic. And broken families, that is just normal now. And I wonder if this is where listening to those voices has brought us. I wonder, how confident are we really that they know the way to happiness? Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Now, friends, but if that is not the path to blessing, well, I guess the next question is, where is the path to happiness found then? Well, verse 2 gives us the answer. The blessed life is found by delighting in the law of the Lord, by meditating on it day and night. The law of the Lord, this is the psalmist's way of speaking about God's word, the Torah in his day, and the Bible in ours. And what he's saying is that true happiness comes from loving God's word, listening to what he has to say, letting him shape our hearts and our lives. And the reason God's word brings blessing, it's not because these are magic words, you know, like a spell that we cast to make life work better. No, listening to God's word leads to blessing because these are the words of the Creator God, the Lord, in verse 2. The one who knows all things, rules all things, the one who made the world and who made us, the one who knows you and loves you. And the point that the psalmist wants us to get clear is that if you are searching for the blessed life, for true happiness, well then stop listening to all those other voices. No, rather, listen instead to the one who made you. And so over Christmas, one of the things we got our son, Chris, it was a Transformer toy. Ooh, yeah, that's right, Transformers. We love Transformers, don't we? Which, if you don't know, it's a robot, which also turns into something else. And when we first took it out of the box, I recall us desperately trying to figure out how to get it to transform. And so, you know, we're taking this robot, we are twisting its limbs, trying to fit things in place, almost breaking it at various points. But you know what? Eventually, after a good long struggle, we decided to do the sensible thing and to read the maker's instructions. And within minutes, surprise, surprise, everything made sense. And things worked the way that they were meant to. And standing there, you know, watching all the little bits click into place, I remember thinking, well, of course it works. That's exactly how it was designed to work. And friends, I tell you this because, well, Psalm 1, it's kind of saying the same thing. When so often we struggle to make sense of things, things don't work the way that we want them to, and sadly, sometimes things even break. Psalm 1 calls us to listen to the voice of our loving Creator, or to read the Maker's instructions, and to let His good word shape our hearts and our lives. Because only then can we ever discover life as it was meant to be. And only then can we ever experience true blessing, true happiness. Now, but what does this blessing actually look like, you might ask? Well, the psalmist wants to show us. And the way he does this is by painting two pictures for us. Two pictures of life. Have a look at verse 3, point 2. The blessed man, he is like a tree planted by streams of water that yield its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Here the psalmist paints for us a picture of what the blessed life looks like. And he says that the person who is blessed, the one who listens to God's word, he's like a tree. This tree, it's a fruitful one, yielding its fruit in its season. This tree, it is evergreen. Its leaf does not wither. And the reason this tree grows and thrives and prospers, it's because it is planted by streams of water. It has an unlimited supply, direct access to the life-giving water that every tree needs to grow. That is what the blessed man is like. That is what the one who listens to God's word is like. He's like a fruitful, thriving tree, endlessly nourished by God's word, this life-giving water. However, in contrast, verse 4, the wicked, they are not so. They are not like the fruitful tree. Instead, the psalmist gives us a second picture. And he says that the wicked, they are like chaff that the wind drives away. Here in verse 4, the psalmist, he calls to mind the image of harvest time. Back in the day, before you had combine harvesters and large tractors, if you were a farmer, chances are you relied on the wind to help you during harvest time. The way it worked was that farmers would collect bundles of wheat. They would then have them beaten or threshed to loosen out the grain. And after that, what they would do is they would take the harvested wheat, and just like in the picture, they would throw them into the air. And what would happen is that the heavier edible grain, all of that would fall to the ground and be collected, while everything else that was inedible and useless, the light papery husks or the chaff, all of that will be blown away by the wind. And that is what the psalmist says the wicked are like. They are like chaff, dry, empty. Here today, gone tomorrow. And so do you see the kind of contrast that the psalmist is making here between these two persons, between these two ways to live? The first is a picture of fruitfulness and growth, but the other is rootless, lifeless. And you know, I remember the first time when I saw these two pictures clearly for myself in real life, back when I was at university exploring Christian things, some 18 years ago now. I remember one of the biggest things that left an impact on me was looking at my Christian friends and the lives they lived. Over the course of my first year at uni, as I got to know these Christian friends, these guys and girls who were serious about listening to Jesus, people who wanted to listen to God's word, I clearly remember being struck by their lives. The genuine love that they had for others, the depth and richness of their relationships. These were people whose lives were characterized by joy, who lived lives that were filled with purpose. These were people who were totally secure in themselves and where they were headed. Because of this unshakable hope that each of them had. And in the years leading up to that point in my life, I remember pouring myself into all sorts of different things, listening to people around me who told me what would make me happy. Living for popularity, for pleasure, achievement. But none of those things really make me happy. Not for long, at least. And so when I saw the lives of these Christian friends, these guys and girls who really wanted to listen to God's word, I very quickly knew that they had something that I didn't. These are people who are living life well. They were living a blessed life. Now, by this point, I suspect some of you might be saying, well, good for you, Dan. Maybe that's true for you. But for the rest of us living in the real world, that's not really how things work. Because isn't it the case that so often it's the wicked, the people who listen to the world, who end up looking like the big strong tree. But the person who listens to God, well, they end up sounding more like the chaff that gets blown away. Well, friends, the psalmist, he's not someone who's detached from reality. In fact, he is well aware that sometimes that is the case. I was chatting with somebody earlier about this psalm, and as we were talking about this idea of the wicked one and the one who listens to God, this person brought up what the psalmist says in another psalm, Psalm 73. And there, the psalmist, he clearly knows that, yes, in our broken world, sometimes the wicked do appear to prosper, while the one who listens to God's word gets crushed. However, while that may be true at times, in both Psalm 73 and here, what we see in the last few verses of Psalm 1, the psalmist wants to assure us that listening to God's word, it really is the secret to the blessed life. And it really is the path to true and lasting happiness. And this is because the blessed life that the psalmist speaks of here in Psalm 1, it is not just limited to life here on earth. No, rather, the life which he speaks of, yes, it starts here on earth, but it continues even after death. Where do we see this? Well, look at verse 5, our last point. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Here in verse 5, the psalmist describes the end of human history for us. At the end of time, the psalmist tells us that God will do two things. One day, God will judge the world. And two, on that day, he will gather his people. He will congregate his righteous people. And what verse 5 tells us is that, while yes, it may be true that the wicked do prosper for a time here on earth, however, Psalm 1 reminds us that life does not begin and end with our time on earth. Rather, your life and my life, it will continue, even after death. And when we die, Psalm 1 tells us that there will be a day of judgment, a day when God will gather his people to be with him forever. And on that day, the psalmist says that the wicked, they will not stand on this day of judgment, and they will not be counted among God's gathered people. And so when you look at these verses, it's quite the sobering picture, isn't it? It's a picture of being totally exposed, nowhere to hide, no excuses to give. This is a picture of being cut off, shut out, standing outside in the dark, desperately looking in at those who are gathered in celebration and joy. In fact, end of verse 6, this is a picture of death. The wicked will perish, the psalmist tells us. Friends, that is the ultimate destiny for those who choose to listen to the world. In the end, the psalmist says, there will be no blessing, no happiness, no life. But for the one who chooses to listen to God's word, rather than fear of being exposed or being cut off, rather than the fear of death, well, verse 6, have a look at verse 6. The psalmist assures them that the Lord knows the way of the righteous. This idea of knowing, it's more than just about knowledge. It's more speaking about God's sovereignty and his love for the righteous. This is a picture of care and protection, like a loving father watching over his child with every step he takes on the way. And friends, that is the wonderful assurance that Psalm 1 gives us. The psalmist says that for those who listen to God's word, this is how God sees you. He loves you, and he knows you, and he will watch over you every step of the way as we live by his word, until the day he gathers us to be with him forever. And so, friends, as we close, having heard Psalm 1, Here's the simple question I think we are left with as we head into this new year. Which voice are you going to listen to? Because friends, Psalm 1 tells us that there are only two paths, two ways to live, and only one of them leads to life. Now, for those of us who are Christians, I think the psalm calls for us to do something really practical as we begin a new year. It invites us, I think, to resolve again to be people who listen to God's word, to delight in it, to make space for it, to let it shape our hearts and our lives. Now, this might mean recommitting to midweek or reading the Bible, and not just reading it, but really considering what it means to live by it. And friends, I hope you see that this is something that is not only worth doing, this is something that is really, really worth doing, not only because someone tells us that this is the right thing to do, but also because this is the best thing to do. Well, this is the path that leads to true and lasting happiness. Now, if you're here today and maybe you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, maybe you're still exploring things, first of all, can I just say we are so, so glad that you've joined us today at Euston Church. And if that's you, please know that someone isn't asking you to have everything figured out today. But friends, what it is doing, though, is it is inviting you to keep listening, to keep coming back, to keep opening God's word. Because if Psalm 1 is true, and Christians believe it is, then there is no better place to look for life, for meaning, and for true happiness than from the one who made you. Shall we pray?
Let us pray. Blessed is the man who delights in the law of the Lord. Thank you, God, that knowing you in your word is the happy life, the abundant life. Like a tree planted by streams of water, help us to truly meditate on this life-giving word each day, choosing to listen to your wisdom instead of what the world suggests. Would we delight in this relationship with you and see the full blessed life with Jesus as Lord alone. Amen. We give you thanks and praise for sustaining your church through another year. Thank you, it is you that built up Euston Church, and what a joy it is to be partners in that gospel work. We give you thanks for the many new students, workers, and families this year. We pray that the authority of the Bible will always remain the foundation of faithful ministry. And would we cling unto these truths from your word, encouraging one another in love. We also thank you for our mission partners around the world, for their boldness in sharing the gospel in often difficult environments. Renewed by your word daily, would they remain steadfast, unashamed of the life in your Son. Lastly, we turn to pray for the world. As we celebrate Christmas, we pray for this gift of salvation and hope in Jesus to keep being light in a dark world. For those in wars and conflict, may the Prince of Peace be true comfort and rest. Father, be close to the grieving. For those who lost homes, may a future restored world be hope. And with uncertain leadership, we hold unto the promise that Almighty God will soon reign righteous forever. To the one who is sovereign and knows all things, we pray all these in Jesus' name. Amen.